I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on AM 1170, The Answer. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com. Today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome John Benjamin Hickey of Manhattan. Mr. Hickey is an Emmy-nominated and Tony Award-winning actor and is best known for starring in the critically acclaimed series The Big C. Over the next segment, John Benjamin Hickey will talk about starring in Manhattan, his riveting series about the human story behind the Manhattan Project, which airs Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on WGN America. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to know me from Adam, feel free to join us on the eve of this historic interview as we leave our post-war present in order to cause a chain reaction in the past. John, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Hey, Jim, I'm very happy to be on the TV Time Machine. Irwin Allen production.
Now, John, tell us about Manhattan, your character Frank Winter, and without revealing too much, what's in store for the new season.
Absolutely. For those unfortunate people who have not seen it yet, Manhattan is about the men and women, the brilliant scientists who helped create the world's first atomic bomb in Los Alamos, New Mexico in 1944. In an effort to end the war, to bring Hitler to his knees, to defeat the Axis and save the American way of life. It's as simple as that. So as far as stakes go, they don't get much higher than that. And the great thing about our show is it's not a fact-by-fact, you know, historical docudrama retelling. It's basically historical science fiction, I like to refer to it as. The characters inside our story are fictional, but all of the situations are based on historical truth, and it gives the writers a chance to draw parallels to the modern world and how, in this time and place, we let the genie out of the bottle of atomic warfare, atomic weaponry, government surveillance that has created the world we live in now. So it's this really amazing kind of look back to the past, which is also a way of looking at the present, the world we live in now, and how it's a result of where we were then. Does that make sense? It's a nutty kind of house of mirrors describing it, but that's what makes it so fun.
Well, your character, Frank Winter, of course, is one of those scientists, and he is particularly driven, and really, at times, he's relentless. What's the primary thing that's driving him?
Well, Frank Winter, my character, is a brilliant kind of mass of contradictions and of sometimes even mixed motives. He's doing all the right things for some of the wrong reasons, or vice versa. And Frank Winter was basically a child soldier in World War I. He went to the Great War when he was probably 18 years old. And that was an extraordinary generation of men and women who lived through that first war, who find themselves at 50 years old, as it were, at the beginning of World War II, sort of back in another war that's supposed to end all wars. And he has this altruistic drive, this messianic drive, to build the bomb so he can help end this war and bring all the American soldiers home. So there's that very selfless reason, but also his ego is attached to maybe being one of the architects of the greatest breakthrough in the history of science, which is the creation of this atomic bomb. But in there, of course, lies the moral paradox, you know, that he's building the thing that he can put his name on, but it's also the thing that might destroy the planet. And all of the men and women who worked there were not unaware of this kind of very, very moral gray area that they were all living in. And that makes for very interesting character-driven drama, which is what we have on the show in spades, I think.
Well, he's not only dealing with that moral and ethical issue, but also the moral and ethical issues on a day-to-day basis in terms of his team and also secrecy. What does he deal with in that regard?
Yeah, Frank's bedside manner with his team of, as it were, kind of bad news bears. He's got this ragtag team of brilliant scientists, and they're trying to build the implosion bomb, which is the bomb we actually ended up using to end the war. But at the time, it was very unsure if implosion would ever work. And it's Frank's responsibility to convince the government and to convince his team that they're in the right camp. And it's a very big uphill climb. So we kind of weirdly are rooting for them as far as that goes. And, you know, he's working for a very, very, very top secret military institution, the U.S. government. And part of the conflict in the show, and part of the unbelievably wonderful tension on the show, is that you have a lot of scientists, and this was very true of that time and place, scientists who in their thinking are sort of very left-leaning. Several of them were communists. This was a time when Russia was our ally. And they're working for a government that is so understandably obsessed with keeping everything secret. So the government trying to, and the military trying to sit on these men and women who were building this bomb and not letting them say anything to anybody. It's very, very tension filled. And keeping those secrets is one of Frank's biggest challenges.
Right. There was a lot of paranoia, understandably.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you didn't know whether or not the paranoia was justified.
Absolutely. You didn't know. I mean, there were. It's proven there were. They didn't know whether there were spies on the base. As I said, there were a lot of people in this camp who thought it was a good idea to share our atomic secrets with the Russians, because they believed if one person has the secret, then that's the end of the world. If two or more have it, then we have an even playing field. Well, we all see that that did not work out the way it was planned. And one of the great things about my character as we launched this second season is because of some really terrible things that happened to him, he's in a heap of trouble the first season, he sort of has his blinders taken off and sees the future of atomic weaponry and sees it not as the end of a war, but the beginning of a whole other mess of warfare. And it's not pretty, and he tries his best to kind of put his foot on the brake, and it's easier said than done.
So what is the thing that you're most proud of about being involved in this series, Manhattan?
The thing I'm most proud of, I think, with this, Jim, is, it always comes back to the writing for an actor. It really does. You know, what's the great saying? If it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage, you know? And so I'm so proud to work for writers who take such imaginative leaps of faith. You know, our characters on our show are all fictional, as we were talking about, and the icons, the historically accurate, you know, stories and icons exist on the periphery. So it gives them a chance to draw all these parallels to the modern world. And I think that's really great writing, really exciting writing, and I'm most proud to be able to go to work every day and try to serve those writers as best I can.
And also, where can people find out more about yourself and Manhattan online?
They can go to WGN America, WGN America. WGN, I think, stands for World's Greatest Network.
It is.
Did they do that after our show came on, or was it that before then? Go there, and you can find all of your local listings and how to find it on your cable guide. And if you want to learn more about me, I don't know, I guess Google me. I don't ever Google myself for fear of what you might see. But I also have this wonderful movie coming out with Robert Redford and Cate Blanchett. You may have heard of them.
Yes.
Called Truth, about the CBS Evening Newsgate scandal. I play Kate's husband in it. And it's an absolutely brilliant movie with two amazing actors at its center. And so I've been a very busy guy. It's a really, really good time for me.
Fantastic. John, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time.